Hello and welcome to South African News Daily. Today we'll be talking about the difficulties of reconciliation following the period of apartheid government in South Africa from 1948 to 1994. A system of racial segregation enforced by the legislation of the National Party governments, apartheid law oppressed the rights of the majority non-white inhabitants while maintaining white supremacy and Afrikaner minority rule. South Africa experienced more political killings from 1990 to 1994 than they did in the previous 30 years. While the early 90s saw the release of Nelson Mandela and the unbanning of the ANC, many thought that the country would be destroyed before democracy was achieved. South Africans directly affected by the atrocities of apartheid sought closure in the establishment of a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Open to the public, the Truth Commission gave victims or relatives of victims the opportunity to tell their story as well as the possibility to confront their perpetrators. Looking closely at the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, one can get an understanding of the immense potential and limitation of a Truth Commission. Founded in 1995, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was established in terms of the Promotion of National Unity and Reconciliation Act. The commission aimed to investigate the sufferings of ordinary South African people under apartheid, as well as to hear testimony from former actors of apartheid seeking amnesty for the injustices they had committed. Without an outright military victory for the ANC, the National Party was willing to accept a new democratic state and recognize the end of apartheid only if they were granted amnesty. Realizing that their goal for a one-person, one-vote political system could not be achieved without cooperation from the National Party, the ANC adhered to the demands of the National Party by declaring that perpetrators from apartheid would be given the chance for achieving amnesty through the means of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The TRC was composed of several high-profile members such as Chairman Desmond Tutu, Mary Burton, and Deputy Chairman Dr. Alex Brain. They were to bear witness to, record, and sometimes grant amnesty to the perpetrators of crimes relating to human rights violations, as well as reparation and rehabilitation. Acting under the concept of amnesty from prosecution for oppressors during apartheid, the TRC was divided into three committees: the Amnesty Committee, the Human Rights Violations Committee, and the Rehabilitation Committee. During the function of the TRC, it heard over 7,000 hearings, and only 850 were granted amnesty.
Apartheid emotionally silenced many South Africans, both black and white. The creation of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was a way to reopen past wounds and openly talk about events that occurred during apartheid in hopes of receiving amnesty. The reasoning and purpose of the commission was to confront the past so the country of South Africa could move forward. It was about hearing from those who had been ignored and suffered in silence and giving them the chance to ask for forgiveness. That said, the ability to come forward, tell your story, and ask for forgiveness in exchange for amnesty was a powerful goal and result of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. In many cases, reconciliation was found between perpetrator and victim because it gave them the opportunity to relieve themselves of a burden of guilt or anxiety with which they might have been living with for many years. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission allowed for victims and their families to finally come to terms with the oppressing and violent acts of apartheid by being able to face their perpetrator in person. For many victims, being able to forgive meant knowing the face of the killer, and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission practiced this notion in the most effective way possible. The acknowledgement and therapeutic way the TRC was set up by coming forward to tell your story gave everyone, white or black, the chance to be heard, and thus contributed to the freedom that South Africa is now enjoying. Yasser Henry, a member of the ANC, explains his story in the book Country of My Skull by Anjit Krog, and says that the TRC will grant me the possibility to wake up from this nightmare with which I have been living for so many years, so that I too can share in the process of healing taking place in our country. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission acted as a mechanism that allowed resolution between victim and perpetrator and was not about recording evidence or pointing blame. It was a chance for both victims and perpetrators to tell their story and finally allow family and friends to grieve and forgive. It was the opportunity for the country to reach closure from the oppressing events of apartheid.
There were relatively mixed reactions to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. Many people believe that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission prevented some perpetrators of crimes to get away without being held accountable for the crime they committed. Those crimes deemed politically motivated were eligible to be reviewed by the TRC, and the person could be granted amnesty, provided that the person discloses all information. Since many of the victims of the politically motivated crimes were black South Africans, a number of blacks did not approve of the TRC. Gillian Slovo, whose mother was a victim of a parcel bomb sent by a South African security agent, grew up around this because of her family's strong opposition of apartheid government. While her mother was a victim, her father was a key figure in bringing the Truth and Reconciliation Commission to life. So in a way, her father was partially responsible for creating the pathway for her mother's killers to be granted amnesty. Slovo was caught in the middle of a situation not many people had to deal with. Slovo points out that for a long time, the African National Congress went by the motto of "Don't mourn, mobilize." But when the ANC started negotiating with the former apartheid leaders, they had to agree to give up something in return. The TRC was created, and it established the slogan, "Revealing is Healing," essentially saying that the only way to move on is to have the truth come out, not justice be served. Black South Africans became upset that their leaders had reversed their attitudes towards the crimes and oppression they had suffered over the last 46 years. The case of Steve Biko was important in the argument against the Truth and Reconciliation Commission because of how his family was strongly against the idea of Steve's killers being given the chance, even if small, to be granted amnesty. They took his case to the highest court, but did not win, because of the statute of limitations would not allow this case to happen, because the murder occurred in 1977. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission did not grant his killers amnesty, but forgiveness was never achieved. The fundamental purpose of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission had failed in this case, as it had in many of the cases brought forth.
Debates still rage around the success of the TRC in serving justice. Some victims still believe that the perpetrators of the crimes against them should be tried and punished. They believe that the truth is not enough. Others are relieved, if not satisfied, by the confessions of those who came forward. Regarding the issue of justice versus truth, one TRC participant responded that if justice was defined as retribution, then the commission had operated at the expense of justice. However, if justice was interpreted in terms of societal openness and national peace of mind, truth and justice had been served by the commission. Regardless of whether or not justice was served, the hard facts remain.
Whites still control 4/5 of the farms, 90% of the capital, and 95% of industry. Even when they have jobs, black households earn barely a quarter of white income.
Although the victims and perpetrators cannot be split evenly into the categories of black and white, the benefits that whites enjoyed under apartheid as a result of their skin color remain today. With most of the rapidly expanding black population of the country living in slums and commuting to historically white areas for work, the TRC has done little to concretely change the economic devastation and inequality that many blacks face in South Africa as a result of apartheid. The TRC is also far from having achieved the end of racism. Many victims complain that whites have not taken a collective responsibility for apartheid. They have not begun to recognize that even if they may not have directly perpetrated violence, they benefited immensely from the oppression of blacks during that era. One white student admits of apartheid.
Apartheid, I received benefits, and I mean, the benefits that I received came with a moral stain. I mean, the benefits were begotten by evil means, so I can't receive the benefits without receiving some of the moral blame.
While the TRC has not healed all of the scars of apartheid, it has served another important purpose in the healing process. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission has exposed the truth and given victims closure. By tearing the bandages off the country's wounds, the TRC opened up a dialogue of reconciliation in which the future looks brighter, but the past cannot possibly be forgotten.